Blog Talk Radio.
GLaDOS wanted that one.
GLaDOS, get up off of it. You're not allowed. We're not playing with you today, GLaDOS.
He's like, no. Good morning, lovely people.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
Good morning, Ginger.
Yay, it is. It's Thursday morning. They get us twice today.
I would like to point out that I am vitamin and 5-hour energy free today for some odd reason. Figure that one out.
I am, but that's because I stayed up way too late last night.
Indeed you did. Yes. I saw you there.
Yes, I did. On the other hand, I got my computer all nice and cleaned and photos organized. I know. I'm yawning and stretching.
All right.
It felt good, though.
See, that's why now y'all see why we like to do the show all amped on the vitamins and stuff.
More fun type. Sorry.
Yay. I got two short things. May I, darling?
You go right on ahead.
But first up, I would like to say hello to our peoples over at GamesIndustry.biz sporting their new clothes today. Looks nice. Looks real nice. Not too much deviation, but just enough to make it look nice. Pretty. I like the color blue. Very nice. So congratulations. You remember we told you a couple of weeks ago that them and Eurogamer were doing some good stuff and being a conglomerate. So looks good. You guys are doing good. Your page is nice and clean. Well, sort of clean. Anyway, also, got some juicy news in. We don't know what this means, but just call it gossip. Do with it what you will.
Yes, talk about this.
Okay, those of you who run websites know that, you know, you have your Google AdWords and AdSense and all this stuff, ways for you to make cash off of your site. So, just a short while ago, actually about an hour ago, I got an interesting email regarding EA and them canceling their relationship with the Google Affiliate Network. Origin said they will no longer be compensating any of their affiliates for any sales submitted through the Google Affiliate Network, and they said they've enjoyed their relationship with the network. And if you have any questions, they've given an email to contact them at. I am kind of shocked. Ginger asked a couple of questions, and maybe they're starting their own similar thing. We don't know. If you guys out there know anything, just send it our way. I think it's juicy gossip.
Yes. I mean, has it been some sort of falling out? I don't know. I mean, are they going to start their own? It'd be quite interesting. Quite interesting. All right. Good news for you WoW players, especially you older WoW players. GamePolitics.com this morning, there is some new research out suggesting that WoW improves cognitive functions in some seniors. This is awesome. All right, so World of Warcraft can help improve cognitive functions in some older adults, according to research conducted by North Carolina State University. Researchers from the university's Games Through Game Laboratory first tested the cognitive functions of study participants ages 60 to 77 to set a baseline. They cataloged data on the subject's cognitive abilities, such as spatial ability, memory, and attention focus. From there, part of the group that played World of Warcraft at home for approximately 14 hours for 2 weeks, while another set of participants served as a control group. Comparing both groups after retesting, researchers found that the WoW players exhibited a much greater increase in cognitive functioning. The effects did vary according to each participant's baseline score. All right, so Dr. Anne McLaughlin, an assistant professor of psychology at NC State and co-author of a paper on the study, says, "We chose World of Warcraft because it has attributes we felt may produce benefits. It is a cognitively challenging game and a socially interactive environment that presents users with novel situations. We found there were improvements, but it depended on each participant's baseline cognitive functioning level. The people who needed it most, those who performed the worst on the initial testing, saw the most improvement, says Dr. Jason Allaire, an associate professor of psychology at North Carolina State and co-author of the study. McLaughlin added that the participants who scored well on the baseline test showed no significant improvement after playing the game. Those who did not do so well in baseline tests saw improvement in both spatial ability and focus. This one caveat that she noted is that there didn't seem to be any improvement in memory. All right, so the research paper, Individual Differences in Response to Cognitive Training Using a Multi-Model Attentionally Demanding Game-Based Intervention for Older Adults, that is a long title, by the way, was published online in Computers and Human Behavior. The lead author of the paper is Laura Whitlock, a North Carolina State PhD student. The research was supported by North Carolina State College of Humanities and Social Sciences. This is kind of interesting. As we've said before, you know, gaming has more purpose than just being a time waster. It can actually help you. And didn't we just read a story a couple, I don't know, last week, week before, about a, what was it, a 90-year-old woman who games with her DS3 and has
the DS3, oh, you're going to get cut.
DS3. Oh, my God, it's morning. Sorry, 3DS. And didn't she have the cognitive function of 60-year-old and she was 91 or 93?
Yeah, she was playing Brain Age. Yeah. She's
playing
Age. So it does help a little bit.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't believe me, you try to play Brain Age and see if you can do those math problems.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yes. Anyway, you don't have a DS yet. Brain Age has all kinds of little puzzles, and it has Sudoku, which it keeps up with. It kind of keeps track of everything, what time of day you spend most of your time playing. If you play a different time, it'll note to you, we notice when you play in the morning, you're much faster than you are, you know, in the evening. And if you're late at night, I love that it tells you, please try to make sure you get 8 hours of sleep and drink plenty of water. You know, it's late, but go ahead and play. But my favorite thing is simple math that you think you know. You're like, 5 + 5, you know it. But when they start shooting it at you and you got like 2 seconds to write the answer down, you're like, 5 + 5, oh, damn, I missed it. Yeah, it's quick. So maybe it gives you to think a little faster. And then if you play against other people, that's fun, too, to see who's the fastest. As you all know, your DS is Wi-Fi, so you can play with up to, I believe, 8 people, these little games, so they'll throw math problems at you, not just a 5 plus 5, but some multiplication, some division, but they're very simple problems that you, again, you know the answer to, but when you're not forced to think about it quickly, it's different. So it'll rank you at who's the fastest to come up with the answer, which I said is a good grown-up game. I'd like to point out grown-up game is, we call it Brain Age Shots. Whoever is the slowest...
Oh, my God, that takes a shot. Oh,
you have to take
wow.
a shot. Or you can make it whoever's the fastest, see if they can maintain their lead. But these are big girl games, not little girl games. So you create new brain cells and then
big
kill them at the same time. Yeah, big girl.
Bring your big girl panties.
Yeah, if you're not over 21, don't be playing that. All right. So I'm not sure I've heard about this game before. We've mentioned it. We may have. We do a lot of stuff today. Leading online games publisher Games.com. The hotly anticipated closed beta for their global online trading card game, CART, spelled C-A-R-T-E. Players can head over to cart.gamecampus.com to view the full website that they just unveiled and check out the latest buzz of what's in store for the beta. They are saying, who is this? Chris Allen. Hello, Chris. Who's the head of marketing at Games Campus, says that they are
incredible. That was a very cute accent you just did.
I threw a whole bunch of them in. He says he's very excited. I'm incredibly excited to launch the closed beta for CART, and they look forward to it being one of the most successful trading card games of all time. He says, we've been showing off the amazing card art on our forums for weeks, and players are dying to get in-game and try them out, and now they finally can. And CART is supposed to be a very fast-paced global online trading card game. You can choose a hero, build a deck, and launch into exciting battles with fierce weapons and allies. You can create and master endless strategies with an arsenal of spells and creatures to conquer your opponents. With an easy-to-learn system, both user-friendly interface, CART is ready for new players as well as grizzled TCG veterans and everything in between. In the closed beta, players can battle head-to-head with their own custom decks, hone their skills against the AI, or team up against challenging bosses in raid mode. Raid mode bosses each feature unique challenges, and only the most finely tuned decks will be able to defeat the strongest of them. Players will also be able to break down, construct, and transform cards with cart crafting system. Yes, we said a crafting system with a card game, right? Amazing, right? With its various game modes, huge array of cards, crafting, and tournaments, cart offers limitless content. Closed beta will feature events and tournaments rewarding cards for the game's launch, and everyone in cart's closed beta will receive a collector's edition card just for participating. You can sign up for a beta key or visit any of the Gaming's Campus MMO partner sites who will be giving away keys starting today. We are not one. We'll not have any keys. Sorry, not this time. Gaming's Campus will be offering additional previews, deck building tips, and even some keys on the official cart Facebook. So you just to cart global if you want to check that out. Looks interesting. I'm not a card playing person. I tried to get into Pokemon some years ago, but it just didn't work out. Ooh, the tweets.
Yeah, I know. All right, Jay, can I nap at your place? I'm so sleepy.
He says, don't listen to anything about studies done at NC State. They do a lot about fishing and being mediocre. We like fishing, so that's all good.
I saw that.
We love us some fishing, so that sounds like they're geniuses to us.
All right, what have we got? We've got so much stuff going on. All right, Xenoblade Chronicles hits Wii on April 6th with the last story soon to follow. Nintendo is loading 2012 with surprises for all kinds of gamers. Today, Nintendo can confirm that the acclaimed role-playing game, The Last Story, will come to North America for the Wii in 2012. Nintendo can also reveal that Xenoblade Chronicles will launch on April 6th, complete with fan-chosen artwork that will be featured in the game's packaging. Who is this? Nintendo of America President Reggie Filsimi? Yeah, that sounds good. Filsimi. Together, these two games level up the excitement of RPG fans in America, whether roaming the vast landscape of Xenoblade Chronicles or choosing crossbows to battle with or against companions. In The Last Story, gamers will recognize these titles as benchmarks of the genre. All right, so what else do we have? They want to remind us also that Rhythm Heart Fever for Wii launched February 13th, while Poke Park 2 Wonders Beyond launches February 27th, and Mario Party 9, oh my god, really people, 9, launches March 11th. What do we have on the portable side? All right, so for Nintendo 3DS, we have Mario Tennis Open, which launches May 20th, and that looks like the only one that they're going about there. So, yay! We've also got Sega's Tekken Prime Edition coming up, but they're not giving me a date for that. Nom, 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 nom.
I wish I wasn't muted all that time. I'm just making all kinds of little cute comments, and nobody heard them. Sad, really. Sad. Well, the latest in our whole privacy bill of rights and things are happening. The Obama administration has unveiled a new framework for protecting Americans' data on the Internet, including a commitment to technology that allows consumers to opt out of tracking. This was announced just today. According to VentureBeat, President Obama is quoted as saying, American consumers can't wait any longer for clear rules of the road that ensure their personal information is safe online. He says, as the Internet evolves, consumer trust is essential for the continued growth of the digital economy. That's why an online privacy bill of rights is so important. I kind of like the way that sounds, but I don't know if it's going to be good. For businesses to succeed online, consumers must feel secure by following this blueprint. Companies, consumer advocates, and policymakers can help protect consumers and ensure the Internet remains a platform for innovation and economic growth. Online privacy concerns, of course, have attracted an increasing level of scrutiny over the past few months, with Google making a sweeping controversial change to its privacy policies, which I hope you all have read. I can honestly say I have not, but I'll be taking a look at it today now that I remember to. And also the past contact stealing debacle that eventually exposed other iOS apps that invade your privacy. The new Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights aims to put a stop to companies taking user data without notifying them and giving people the option not to be tracked. The government said that 90% of companies that control online behavioral ads, including Google, Microsoft, AOL, and Yahoo, have already agreed to the framework to let consumers get out of being tracked online. Good job. By making agreements can be subject to enforcement by the FTC. I'm not going to read to you what the bills are. You can probably find them online or pop over to the government website. I think I'm wondering if they will be included in this, since they need to watch for terrorists and things. Mm-hmm. But VentureBeat is saying the bill is very vague. It is a step in the right direction to help legislators in Congress come up with new ways to protect consumers online. And while the focus of this bill seems to be on advertisers like Google and AOL, it's a shame that Facebook was not mentioned in it, and they control and sell over 800 million users worth of data. And they didn't get a single mention in the blog, nor are they saying anything. Interesting. Facebook.
Hmm. I am all muted, and mm-hmm. I'm all, She's not coming back. And oh, my God.
Facebook.
Mute yourself to cough. You should unmute yourself.
Yes, you should. I'm concerned about Facebook not saying anything.
You know, they're pretty notorious about this. I mean, how long did they wait before they finally commented on, what was it, SOPA?
Yeah. Yeah, they commented. They commented, but they kept it very hush-hush. They didn't really say it.
They did. I don't know. I think they have fingers and pockets that they probably shouldn't.
And good morning to Horace, who wanted us to know that he's here, and he's out of breath from running up the stairs just for us.
That's hot. Can you record that for me?
Thank you.
All right. What have we got? The Nightline report. Did anybody watch that last night? I missed that.
It was Tuesday night, and I asked yesterday, did anybody watch it? Did you find something new on it? Did they say it was
Yes, there is. Well, maybe. Did we talk about the underage workers? I don't remember this one coming out yesterday, so I think this one probably came out after we off air.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Foxconn shuffles underage workers around as inspections ensue.
Oh.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Apple Insider reports that Foxconn shuffled employees around when inspectors from the Fair Labor Association recently took a tour of some of their facilities. A non-governmental labor rights group said that Foxconn relocated underage workers to different areas of the plant during the tour before the FLA inspections commenced. This information comes from Debbie Zhuawan Chan, a project officer from Students and Scholars Against Corporate Misbehavior. She says, workers from the Foxconn factories reportedly told Chan all underage workers between 16 and 17 years old were not assigned any overtime work, and some of them were even sent to other departments. Apple's supplier code of conduct does allow for workers 18 years old work at plants, but it requires that certain rules be followed and certain special protections be given. All right, so what do they say? They say preventing underage labor is only part of our efforts. We also monitor the treatment of workers who are old enough to work legally but are younger than 18. We do not allow these workers to perform some types of work, even in cases where local laws allow it. Our standards also require factories to adhere to student labor laws and to ensure that schools and universities follow the laws as well, which is particularly important as factories increasingly turn to these institutions for student interns. SOCOM does not allege that Foxconn is hiding underage workers. They are simply saying that they moved older and younger workers around to avoid scrutiny from the FLA. The FLA is still conducting its inspections of the factories. Chan seems concerned about the way Foxconn does business based on past experiences while visiting various plants. He recounts a recent trip to Foxconn facilities where workers said they felt like machines. The workers always tell us they resemble machines. Their regular day at Foxconn is waking up, queuing up for baths and work and go back to the dormitory and sleep. They do not have a social life, and they are doing the same monotonous task in the factory for thousands of times a day. If they are not efficient enough or they make some mistakes, they will be yelled at by their supervisor or punished. Oh, wow. This is not cool, people. Apple, how dare you? You know what? Just bring these jobs back. All right? Just bring them back here. They don't need to be over there anyways. And y'all got y'all's hands full with that whole being sued right now. So
everybody's being sued.
Yes, everybody's being sued. It's nuts.
All right. In line with that story, even though all that controversy is going on at Foxconn, there's still a huge demand for jobs.
Really?
Go figure. According to GI.biz, the China manufacturer, which has been the subject of much press scandal and official investigation because of its allegedly poor working conditions and employment law violations, still sees an enormous amount of competition for its factory floor positions. A piece for Reuters by James Pomfret Wow, I wish I could talk. Palmer Files from Foxconn's main recruitment center in Longhua in China says that thousands of workers, largely migrants from rural regions, wait daily outside the company's plant to be taken for aptitude tests in the hopes that they will get a job. Concerns over worker welfare at the company are well documented, and with a spate of attempted suicides, several worker protests, and an Apple report which acknowledged labor law infringements, including child labor violations, all attracting negative press attention, doesn't seem to bother them. The workers are flocking to the plants, following the larger trend of Chinese workers fleeing countryside areas, and the nation continues to centralize its population around industrial centers. One 19-year-old worker told Reuters, as you can see, everyone wants a job here. This person was 19 years old. He says, I've been here every day for 2 weeks now. Perhaps today will be my lucky day. Recent pay rises at the company have raised attention somewhat in the eyes of the world's press, as have the investigations by Apple and the U.S.-based Fair Labor Association. Nonetheless, workers at the plants themselves claim that those raises have been rendered useless by the simultaneous introduction of charges for dormitories and canteens previously provided to the workers for free. So you basically... Wow. Such a move would be a new tactic. Many generations of workers around the world in industries as diverse as fruit production, mining, and pure industry have been forced to live in the compounds and production plants.
Wow.
Either
people, why go into slave labor? Seriously, oh my God.
Wow. Wow, all those tweets just came
through. Some perspective and slap. I had to... slap the people. Slap. Just reach over. How dare you yell at me?
So you made me lose my place, Ginger. But even after, wait a minute, where's my place? Okay, so they've been forced to work at the compounds where they are because of their where they live, or simply company policy requires them to live there. It has not been uncommon for owners to recoup wages and benefit costs by maintaining monopolies on goods for sale and accommodation, charging workers well over the odds. But even after these considerations, as well as the safety issues arising from poor conditions, long hours, and phenomena such as the explosive nature of the aluminum powder, which is a byproduct of many high-tech manufacturing operations, Foxconn is still attracting huge numbers of workers whilst other companies struggle. As a top manufacturer company in China, the basic salary of junior workers in all of Foxconn's China factories is already far higher than the minimum wage set by local government. A recent statement from Foxconn is where that comes from. Wow, who wrote that? Okay, so boards outside the Longhua plant advertise wages as 1,800 yuan, which equates to about $290 a month here. Mm-hmm. Reuters reports significantly higher than other areas of the country. Apple is perhaps the highest profile of Foxconn, but Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo also use the company's services. An investigation into working conditions at the company's plant.
$290, and that's...
Yeah.
Higher for the country?
Wait, woman, let me finish. The investigation, which is only partially coordinated by Apple, is ongoing. And yes, $290 a month is what they get paid. I don't know what it costs to live there, so I can't say it's bad. It's bad if they were here. Obviously, if you were here, you don't have a place to stay. Or you may have a place to stay, but you have no lights, no telephone. You got a place to go and sleep at night.
You've got maybe some food for the month, and that's about it.
In Texas, you could probably, well, a cheap one-room apartment here probably would cost you about $280, so that leaves you $10.
Yeah.
To get back and forth to work.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and I think a bus pass is more expensive than that.
Yeah, for the month probably costs you around $50. Wow.
That is horrible. That is horrible. Oh, my God. You people.
Now, on the upshot, I'm going to tell you, immigrants are very resilient people for the most part. Some of them are. Mm-hmm. I remember, you all have heard me say this before, I was homeless for a stint. There was a young lady in the shelter with us. She probably 22, 23. I was 16 at the time, who was here from Africa. And she had lost her entire family. It was just her. And even though she lived in the shelter, she had a car. And the reason she had a car is that it allowed her to get back and forth to her temp work and go somewhere and be able to shower and change. But she lived in the shelter because it was free rent. You know, she didn't have to pay anything. and she was saving her money, and she was saying, she said, I got about another 2 months in here, and then I will have saved up enough money to pay the rent for an apartment for 3 years. And she says, I don't have to pay for food here. I don't have to pay for my shelter. Mm-hmm. She's, and, you know, all I needed was a car to make sure I can get back and forth to earn more money. So she was perfectly fine and happy. She was getting ready to go to college. So immigrants are resilient, but you at least need to give them something. These people are having to live in the compound. They can't go home, or this is their home, and then you're killing them. You're not paying them anything. Apple, they don't want to pull the jobs back here. They got a sweet deal over there. Or the Chinese government, either somebody needs to step up. Either Apple, stop doing this and pull the jobs back here in the U.S. and pay the people, you know, what you need to pay them. Or you over there, Chinese government, need to say, you know what, Apple, you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay for the people to raise the wages and not overcharge.
Oh, my God, yes. Of course, you know, then they're, that's not going to happen, of course, but that would be nice. And as long as we as consumers allow this to happen, it's going to continue to happen. So we're not going to stop buying our products. We're still going to line up and camp out for days to get the newest and the biggest and the best and da-da-da-da-da. And not even thinking about the poor 15-year-old who made this, who lives in some tiny little closet of a dormitory, who eats, sleeps, and breathes this until they literally fall apart and can't do it anymore.
See, I'm going to cut Jay. You got your peoples confused.
Sorry.
What happened?
Oh.
You need to sneeze. Okay. First of all, let me respond to the 12. Yes, but I don't know that Apple's really wants to change things. They're doing well. They're getting over nothing. Really getting over. So I'm thinking at this point the whole investigation is a farce. I don't believe it until I see something change major. I don't think they care. I think it's all for show, honestly. And to Jay, who's saying, for every cop I kept off of him in GTA 4, I hit him with a Molotov cocktail in the back of the neck. You got me confused with that ginger girl there. That's the one who Molotovs you in the back of the neck.
Yes, that would totally be me.
And then yells out, there's health over here. And then when you get there, what is it you say? Oh, I picked it up. I just wanted to let you know it was over here. Mm-hmm. Yes, you wanted to know. But I got it already.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know it was here. You know, I picked it up. I made sure it wasn't going to get stolen by the zombies.
But since you didn't get here fast enough.
Exactly.
Had an extra slot, I went ahead and took it. No.
Had you wanted it, you would have grabbed it.
I was suggesting we not buy the products. I would love to say, well, you know what? I didn't buy the Apple product that I had, so I can't, you know, so I can't say I fell into it. It was a gift. And I know, of course, even if I return it, it's not going to make a big difference. But I like what you said. It's interesting. Makes perfect sense. But you know people are not going to do that. They're not going to.
No, people aren't, because we want our items. We want our toys.
Boo. Okay.
All right. CCP rakes in $66 million in 2011. Right. So they say you wouldn't know it at first glance, but EVE Online creator CCP Games is a money-making machine, even with all those protests. According to an Industry Gamers report, the company managed to rake in $66 million in 2011 solely from its space-themed massively multiplayer online game EVE Online. The company, which is based in Iceland and is privately owned and operated, did not disclose details on its earnings. CCP has managed to grow its subscriber base every year since the launch of EVE Online in 2003. The game currently has 100,000 subscribers. While the company currently only operates one game, it's not for a lack of trying. It is currently working on two other properties, the World of Darkness MMO and the PS3 MMO Dust 514.
Wait, did they say World of Darkness?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I didn't know. How did this slip past me? Is it The World of Darkness?
The World of Darkness.
The World of Darkness as in the Vampire, the Masquerade World of Darkness?
I don't know. We're going to find that one out.
Oh, my, that is delicious if they are.
I am going to go and Google that. Go back. There we go. All right, so last year, after users revolted over the introduction of a microtransaction system and what they felt was a lack of attention to the game by CCP and being called sheep, anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The company cut its World of Darkness staff and refocused its efforts back on its flagship title. Despite the hand-wringing lamentations and apologies from the company's top executives, CCP managed to get by its to make a decent profit. One thing driving EVE Online to be profitable is that it is one of the last remaining MMOs that charges a monthly fee above $10. It's $14.95. Some experimental efforts have also driven profits, such as allowing wealthier subscribers to pay other players in exchange for virtual currency, which about 40,000 of you have tried out. I'm going to lose my voice. All right, so on a related note, Chinese game company Tencent announced that EVE Online is returning to China with a new update in the second quarter of this year. John Hortle, EVE Online's operations manager for Asia, announced that EVE Online China will be a free-to-play game with an online store for virtual items, and which they will make more than the $14.95 a month off of you people, because you China people, you China gamers are some serious business, man.
Just like they are with the... See, that's odd. They're willing to pay more for their games but not get paid. You need to adopt the U.S. gamer mentality. You got to pay me my money so that I can buy my games.
Yes,
so
these are also the same people that, like, live inside these computer... Well, I won't say computer stores. What would you call them? Computer cafes?
Cyber cafes.
Mm-hmm. Live and die, literally, in these cyber cafes.
Amazing. You all got to step up and say you need some more money, really. As I said before, if all of them would band together, you need to... Are they not getting the American TV? Band together, all of you, one day and say, you know what, we're not making any iPads today. None of us are. Nobody's making iPads. What now? What?
Exactly. What now?
Somebody's like, they'll come along and kill everybody. Well, then you were going to kill yourself anyway. So, sorry. That was insensitive. Anyway, let me move along.
It is, Corey.
It was insensitive, but it's true.
No. It is vampires. It is the masquerade.
What?
Possibly with permadeath.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, and apparently there is a new vampire role-playing game inside Second Life that people are up in arms over. Because,
yeah, I've seen that one. I'm told my World of Darkness. That is the original where all vampire games were born from.
Yes, well, I'm going to give you this link. It is from the site that we love to grumble about, but there you go. just don't tell Blaster I shared that with you.
Jay says he's never played Left 4 Dead with you because somebody won't. Wasn't he playing? Oh, wait. Yeah, he was playing with us at night. What? Oh, no.
No. Yeah.
Well, that's your own fault for not being there.
Yes, because remember, he's all, we should all play Left 4 Dead.
No. That was Horace.
Jay. Oh, is that Horace? Oh, my bad.
Horace was the one who was saying.
Jay, you have it on the Xbox? We may have to play Jay.
Of course he has it on the Xbox. He's got it on 5 different consoles. All right.
Nice.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Jay. Jay, you want to be my sugar daddy, Jay?
Oh, my.
5 different consoles, man. That just got me all kinds of hot and bothered.
Ooh,
all right.
I'm staying out of this conversation. Okay. Well, we told you it was coming. Well, we don't actually know if it's coming, but people are suggesting Sony's new PlayStation Vita handheld could sell as many as 12.4 million units this year, provided it does a price cut. Mm-hmm. We've said it, and they won't listen. According to GI.biz and a research firm called Strategy Analytics, which assumes with an average selling price of $180, hardware sales could generate as much as $2.2 billion for Sony, who we know is in some kind of trouble already. He said the real value of the PlayStation Vita is its drive for content revenue growth and its strategic position in Sony's entertainment ecosystem. This is from Jia Wu, who's the senior analyst at the company. He said the PlayStation Store will have a vital role in selling games, videos, and other content through its online access. He says we believe that the PlayStation Vita will cause Sony's 2012 portable console software revenue to grow by $800 million compared with 2011. Although it's too small a device to turn the company around in terms of financial contribution, we expect it to bring in $2 billion incremental revenue from both hardware and software sales in 2012. The company also expects a price cut this year in a move similar to Nintendo reducing the price of the 3DS once the initial hardcore gaming crowd had made its purchase in the first month of sale. There's also a similar trend in Japan for the Vita, which released in the region before Christmas. Since in the time of austerity, consumers were considerably sensitive to prices, and Nintendo proved that a price cut can save a product, offered Wu. Sony is now experiencing the same story in Japan. Sales of the Wi-Fi version of the PlayStation Vita at $249 initially exploded, selling more than 300 units in the first week of release. But the new console is barely moving 20,000 units per week in its home market. After all, the hardcore fans have made their purchases already, mirroring the same experience of the Nintendo 3DS. We thought that he read it. did. Nobody wants to DS, and Vita's going to, we did tell you, it's too much. Both of them were too much. Anyway, despite the solid design and the strong processing power, it is challenging to convince consumers to buy a dedicated gaming console above the $200 price range in today's economic environment, as Nintendo has learned. Sales of 3D models will be particularly challenging as it demands a $50 premium and an additional data plan charge, and in the long run is likely to represent only a small portion of total PlayStation Vita sales. Jia Wu also added that Sony can strengthen the PlayStation brand with a new handheld, even if the console hardware itself will not generate much profit. With the much continued growth of smartphones and tablets, Sony Analytics said Sony's challenge is to create unique content only available at the on the PlayStation Vita, or you really need to look back at the Xperia Play. It's a phone and it's a gaming console. You could take down Apple. Something like that, and the power that they have in the Vita, I think they could just knock the market on its ear. I'm just saying. And here, that's exactly what he says in his next statement. To survive the march of smartphones entering the casual gaming space, Sony needs to achieve the holy grail of inventing innovative new gameplay, whilst at the same time investing heavily in exclusive content, said Wu, which I believe, again, would be great if you guys would go back to the Xperia Play. Clean it up, straighten the battery life out, and start releasing it to everybody, not just Verizon, but go ahead and give one to Boost Mobile, these people that don't want plans that say, you know, I'll pay to, you know, to have my phone service every month, and I can game, too, at the same time. Because, again, I don't know about the rest of you gamers out there, but that's an extra added expense. So I have my cell phone, but my cell phone plays games just fine, too. And then I have an extra added expense of paying for a Wi-Fi for my handheld console. Whereas if I was going to pick between the two based on that, I would go with the 3DS. It's just as powerful. And Wi-Fi. I don't have.
Yeah, we love us some free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi is where it's at.
Yes. All right. I guess I should actually talk about some real games. Chart toppers: Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, and Jason Mraz. Mraz. My bad, Jason Mraz.
Him? You can't say his name wrong. Have you seen him?
No, probably not. I don't watch TV. Plus many more, join the We Sing Pop track list. All right, so the We Sing Pop countdown in collaboration with Spotify continues as the new 8 songs of the Poptastic 30-song track list are revealed through the We Sing Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WeSingGames, We as in W-E, not W-I-I. Bruno Mars, this year's winner of the International Male Solo Artist Brit Award, released Just the Way You Are in September 2010. It is a Grammy Award-winning track and has the singer's and was the singer's second single in the UK that went straight in at number one for a week and then re-entered the charts in October in the top spot for a further 3 weeks. We've got Good Girls Don't Cry, taken from Fergie's debut solo album, The Duchess. We've also got one of the best-selling singles of all time, Lady Gaga first teased the world with Born This Way at the 2010 MTV Video Music Awards, so that's going to be there. I'm Yours by Jason Mraz, since I said it wrong earlier, spent an incredible 76 weeks in the Billboard Hot 100 charts. The 80s-influenced track Fireflies by Al City is also there. I Don't Feel Like Dancing by Scissor Sisters. Oh, my God. Really? Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby is going to be there. And also, it's going to... the 15th track to be revealed is Wet Love Is All Around, which was apparently released in 1994. And I don't think I actually know the song. I'll have to look. Anyways, so I've got more information about this up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning if you want to head over there and check that out.
Yay!
All right, yay!
Mm-mm. Yay!
Apparently, Z2 Live, creators of genre-defying free-to-play social games for mobile devices, has announced their acquisition of Big Sandwich Games. I've never heard of each of these, but hey, that doesn't mean we can't tell you about them.
Hungry, man. Stop talking about food.
As an independent, full-service game development studio based in Vancouver, B.C., it also led by industry veterans such as Glenn Barnes and Tyler Sigmund, the Big Sandwich Games team will create the foundation of newly formed Z2 Live Games Vancouver. I wonder if they stole that from 2 Live Crew or something like that from back in the day. Anyway, some people are like, oh, you know them? Yes, I do. I'm a Southerner. They came from the South. Okay. So the gives two life a foothold in the talent-rich Vancouver market and will allow them to source talent locally and abroad for their rapidly growing business. Big Sandwich Games clearly executes at a level that meets our bar for quality, said Lou Fasulo, who's the COO at Z2 Live. He said the acquisition represents a key part of our long-term strategy to build, operate, and scale genre-defining games. Z2 Live's growth and expansion is not relegated to Vancouver. The Seattle-based startup recently located its headquarters and all 80 of its employees to a new office in downtown Seattle, right next to the iconic Pike Place Market. He says, we're flat out of space, having grown from 16 to 80 employees in the last year, said David Bloom, who's the CEO at Z2 Live. He said the Z2 Live team, all of which share equity in the company, earned the new space with their dedication to create, operate, and scale our games worldwide. If you're not familiar with them, like we are not, let us introduce you. They were founded in 2009, and their category-leading games have been enjoyed by millions, such as Battle Nations and Metal Storm. If you want to learn more about them, or harass them, or stalk them, or whatever, you can check them out at z2live.com or follow them on Twitter at z2live.
And Jay says he'll be my sugar daddy. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw.
Offers me the keys to the gaming cabinet and the Wi-Fi access code.
This said wife.
Oh, wife access code.
What?
Wait a minute. Wi-Fi.
What's that about?
All right. So, moving away from that. Battlefield 3 Aftershock yanked from Apple App Store. Earlier this month, Electronic Arts released the free-to-play and ad-supported Battlefield 3 Aftershock game on the Apple App Store. It seemed to be doing well, but apparently the game has been yanked. The sudden removal of the game isn't all that much of a mystery, they say. They looked at the negative views, the game was getting and decided that it needed to make some drastic changes. I'm sorry, EA, did you release another game before it was ready? You know. All right, so... Ooh, the average user review score for the game was right around 2.5 stars. That's not good. All right, so Battlefield 3 Aftershock, sponsored the film Act of Valor, was free-to-play thanks to the sponsorship, but users were very unhappy with the small amount of content found therein. The game was released with only one map to play on and four weapons to choose from. Yo, EA, that sucks. Just so you know, based on the negative user feedback, EA's mobile division decided that the game needed some more work, you think? All right, so what did they say? EA Mobile released a statement. They said EA Mobile is committed to delivering mobile entertainment experiences that are on par with the content and quality users have come to expect from their favorite EA games. Y'all are the devil. Who is this? To this end, we have decided to remove Battlefield 3 Aftershock from the App Store and are currently reevaluating the app in response to the consumer feedback we've received. We thank all the fans who have downloaded the game to date. A more robust version of the game featuring additional maps and weapons will be released later this year.
Have you seen what's going on Twitter?
What's going on Twitter?
Jay says, I said, Wi-Fi access goes. Damn you, autocorrect.
See, I thought it was Wi-Fi.
I knew it was supposed to be Wi-Fi, but see, that's in print, and it's never going away, so you might want to make sure you say.
Jay, is there alimony in your state? We might have to talk.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Lovely company called Obscene Interactive, or also known as OBJE, have shifted focus to the multi-billion dollar interactive gaming sector. The company will target hot new emerging game developers this week at the Texas ACG Capital Connection Conference that's going on in Austin, Texas. That's right. The city of Austin has been dubbed the Silicon Valley of Texas for its reputation in breakout tech innovations, and I'm okay with that if it's not Houston because they're just up the road, and they do have the Moonshine Cafe, which you keep hearing me talk about. Ooh. Best breakfast on the planet on Sunday morning, line around the building. The two-day event will be held on February 22nd and 23rd, which means today is the last day. I know. Today's the last day, so if you're near Austin or, you know, on the outskirts, you might want to drive on over. And it will provide OBJE's executive leadership with the opportunity to connect with leading CEOs, CFOs, game developers, and business development executives from market companies out Southwest. The annual event boasts over 1,000 participants, including prominent financial intermediaries and investors such as investment banks, venture capitalists, and private equity firms. OBJE CEO Paul Watson will be in attendance to scout trends in gaming and digital media and to work with some of the most innovative technology startups in the country as they come to seek capital to fund their vision. OBJE will vet companies for potential acquisition and joint ventures that can help the company rise to the top of the social and online gaming sphere. For more on OBJE's new gaming initiative, you can visit their website at obsceneinteractive.com/investors. Yes, I said obscene, just like the word obscene, as in you are obscenely naked or something. Okay, so a little bit more about them if you're wanting to drop a little cash in their pocket. Obscene.
Hey, I've got that song going through my head. Thanks.
I don't even know what song it is. Sorry.
Marilyn Manson's Mob Scene.
Mm-mm, don't know it. Their division of Obscene Games Corp, that's working to develop innovative products to serve the fast-growing social gaming sector alongside companies such as EA, Blizzard, and ATVI, and also Take-Two Interactive. And the fact that they're trying to put themselves on par with them means there's a fight a-coming. It's a-coming. You know what? I don't know if we're a full hour today. We are not.
Are we not a full hour today?
I forgot to change it. Yeah, I did.
Uh-oh. So we've already gone over? Are we on the other side or what?
We are on the other side.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Well, what have we got? So much stuff going on. Okay. So 505 Games brings the Dance Fitness Party home on February 24th with Zumba Fitness Rush exclusively on Kinect for Xbox 360. The best-selling franchise surpasses 6 million sold worldwide. Kinect for Xbox 360 sequel to launch with exclusive content and future downloadable dance-style packs. All right, so what have we got? Additionally, 505 Games and Majesco Entertainment announced that the Zumba Fitness video game franchise, including Zumba Fitness on Kinect for the 360, Wii, and PlayStation Move, and Zumba Fitness 2 for Wii, has surpassed 6 million units sold worldwide in less than 15 months. You people are obsessed with some Zumba, just saying.
Oh, Zumba is all that.
That's what I keep hearing. Microsoft, 505 Games, and Majesco have teamed up to bring an exclusive Zumba Kinect experience to fitness fans around the world. Zumba Fitness Rush features the most content of any Zumba Fitness game to date, including a significant amount of exclusive content on Kinect for the 360. The worldwide marketing program includes television, print advertising, media events, exposure through Xbox Live, Marketplace for the Xbox 360, and social media push, messaging throughout the extensive Zumba instructor network, and collaborative retail promotion. Holy cow, y'all are advertising this everywhere. All right. They're announcing two downloadable dance-style packs for Zumba Fitness Rush, slated for release later this year, a three-song Bollywood-style pack available in May. And what else do we got? Looks like a hip-hop style pack out in September. So that sounds kind of cool. If you are into Zumba and you've got a Kinect, which, you know, I think most people do or should by now, this is coming out for you. 6 million copies sold worldwide of this game. That is nuts. I haven't played it. I'm going to have to. I'm going to see if somebody has it that I can borrow.
You can get a demo off of, if you can find it, on the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Me and my 360 are about to go round and round. I still cannot get it to connect to the internet since that stupid update.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I've been playing my PS3, so screw you, Microsoft.
I'm sorry. I found a cutie on Twitter and got all sidetracked. Wow. That's
a cutie?
That's a cute guy. moving along. Okay, so.
Right along.
I would say his name, but I will not.
No.
I will not say it on the air. Okay.
You'll have to show it to me.
I just closed it, so if I can find him, I'll tell you.
She doesn't want to show me the hot guys. How rude.
Well, no, I just, you know, I need to move along. Mm-hmm. It was a good eye candy for a second. I need to move.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make it.
Try to keep them to herself.
Mm-hmm, I'll share. All right, so more than 400 billion, I'm sorry, million mobile phones give you vibrational feedback thanks to technology from Haptics, a touch-sense firm called Immersion. Now, the San Jose, California-based Immersion is improving the nature of the touch feedback in mobile phones with something called HD Integrator, which allows for a much deeper integration of touch into Android devices. This could be the thing that pushes them ahead of Apple. Venture Beat is reporting that the technology can now be customized for consumers and take advantage of new high-fidelity actuators can create realistic and engaging effects like the feel of shaking a maraca. The technology helps create a mental model. The sense of touch can help convey a mental model in the same way that someone walking uphill feels that the hill is steeper compared to a person who is walking alongside a path in a sideways manner on the hill. Mental models can help communicate information and influence behavior. The tactile sensations of shaking a maraca can fill in the gap of what's happening. They're saying with HD Integrator, gadget makers can easily incorporate dynamic HD haptics throughout the Android user interface, resulting in a more responsive and higher quality haptic experience, said Dennis Sheehan, who's the vice president of marketing for Immersion. He said HD Integrator harnesses the capability of high-fidelity actuators to serve as a communication channel to the user, an engaging entertainment platform, and a point of distinction. While the HD with the HD Integrator, a user interface can feel metallic, soft, or springy. Gestures such as a finger swipe can be performed both on screen or the phone itself, and animations can be transformed into multimodal experiences with cool touch and touch effects. The technology can layer effects so that you can distinguish between the feel of an explosion or gunfire happening at the same time in a mobile game. Oh, this is going to be hot. Oh.
We want prenups. I'm sorry.
No Kanye West. Tell him no Kanye. You saw. If you want to check out the new Immersion technology, or you know, at least just look at it for now, it's called. You can go over to immersion.com/HD integrator and let them know we sent you. I am so excited to see this. Imagine how much more amazing our gaming would be. Not just feedback where it shakes the controller, but imagine, because you know Microsoft is going to follow suit. Mm-hmm. The next bit of controllers we get out, or the next console we get from somebody, is going to have this technology in it. And imagine when you get hit with gunfire now, not only does your controller vibrate, but maybe it gets warmer. So you know that you're not waiting.
Awesome.
Or, you know, it's not, oh man, all kinds of cool things can be done with this. I've been waiting for somebody to do this.
Yes, yes, yes. This will be awesome.
Now, I know they were working on something like this with a glove at one time, you know, in 3D space, which means eventually some of us will be able to plug permanently into Second Life, in which case I'm in.
Yes.
Just go ahead and put the IV in. Done. I'll be in there 24/7. They'll be like, you don't ever sleep. I don't need to. And today I shall be Naomi Campbell. Just a body. I didn't say her personality, just a body.
That okay, okay.
Body is sick, and she's older than both of us, Ginger.
That is true. That is true. Woman is hot.
That body is sick. Personality a little iffy.
A little?
I'd be nice because you know she hits people, and she's bigger than me. So I don't know if I can take
her. I'm scared. I will shank her.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Raise that hand. I dare you.
I'm all right. I'll be hiding behind Ginger.
All right, so Marvel vs. Zombies is now available on Windows Phone Marketplace. You know I had to do it. You know I did. Plunge Interactive announces the launch of its new game for Windows Phone. Farts vs. Zombies, oh yes, you heard that right, is an addictive game in which the gamer has to project Japanese schoolgirl, or sorry, protect, not project, protect Japanese schoolgirls from hungry zombies, aiming gas clouds at their faces by drawing the trajectory with their finger. Get ready for some crazy moments, challenging hordes of zombies, fart combos, the destruction of cars, enemies, and fun special attacks. Fast-paced action, tension, and lots of humor, all in this ridiculous story. That's what people will find in this amazing game, says Jesus Bosch, CEO of Plunge Interactive. Joseph Pond, the project's lead developer, confirms that the first time I had access to the game design, I could not believe what I was reading. I've never seen a combination of humor and action in a mobile game before. Really? All right, so some people may classify it as a tower defense game, others as strategy game, and the rest simply as an arcade action game. Farts vs. Zombies is the result of a combination of genres and the parody of multiple existing games that no gamer can do without. A mysterious evil unicorn seems to be the cause of the zombie virus. It's always those damn unicorns.
Those damn unicorns.
I know. Find your old friend, Banana Max, and together you can destroy the zombies to free the city from the evil unicorn. Farts vs. Zombies includes a story mode and a survival mode, and you can even challenge your friends on your favorite social networks like Facebook or Twitter. All right, so this is going on the Windows Phone Marketplace for only £99, Linden's, Franks, whatever the little L sign is.
Starfish.
Yeah, still bloated, play Farts vs. Zombies. All right, so there's a trailer with Matrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out.
Okay, I was just
Yeah, I know, right?
Retro Racing by independent developer Mr. Quack is available.
Mr. Quack.
Yes, available on the App Store. It features classic old-school pixel racing at its best, wrapped in a pretty package. This addicting racer lets you choose your car, then skid, slide, spin, hustle, and race your way around the track at net-breaking speed. Power-ups can be collected along the track, adding additional speed, acceleration, grip, and nitro boost. It's compatible with the Apple iPhone, the Apple iPod Touch, and the Apple iPad. Retro Racing is the second iOS release by the developer, and Mr. Quack is no newcomer to successful classic games, as a veteran developer, Jamie Woodhouse, is the person behind the classic Amiga top-down racers, if you remember that, or Nitro, Cygenosis? Yeah, I want to make sure I say that right, back in 1990, and ATR, Team 17, in 1995. Having spent the last 12 months on design, graphics, and programming of Retro Racing, the result is a polished title featuring silky smooth 60 frames per second graphics, a special head-to-head two-player mode, and on same-device iPad exclusive. You can play with two people in one, and of course it has Game Center support, which is the equivalent of their Xbox Live, but free. Retro Racing, again, is available on the App Store.
Mm-hmm. We like us free.
Yeah, we may check that out for you. Don't know.
All right, so what have I got? We've got a couple of minutes.
Five.
Guns of Icarus Online gears up for closed beta. Eighth highest funded video game Kickstarter campaign. All right, so Muse Games is super excited to have used Kickstarter to find both funding and beta testers for its upcoming steampunk airship combat game, Guns of Icarus Online. I would like to say, why was I not selected? Having raised more than $35,000 from pre-orders and donations and recruited over 100 testers, Muse is getting ready to finally put players at the helm sometime next month. Thanks to the enthusiastic response, the early closed beta list is full, but anyone else interested in joining the open beta or receiving project updates is advised to sign up for the newsletter on the Guns of Icarus website, which is gunsoficarus.com. All right, so what is Guns of Icarus? 300 years ago was the beginning of the war, the Great War that never really ended. Cities were converted to war machines or rubble, citizens to soldiers or refugees, and the war raged until it consumed the world and turned the fertile plains to dust. Only when nations ceased to exist did they cease to send out armies and fleets to do battle, leaving those who remained struggling not for dominance, now but for survival, to regroup and to rebuild among the ruins of the modern age. Where scattered survivors met, they sometimes clashed. Their skirmishes reenacted the great wars in miniature, and they sometimes found a common interest and banded together, sheltering in makeshift camps. The largest of the camps became towns, and the largest of the towns became burgeoning cities, as slowly life returned to the once verdant waste. When a man named Gabriel... See, Gabe's always evil. Built the Icarus, the first airship, and sailed across the Buren, connecting the isolated towns. Some said it was an atrocity. Some said it was the future. And some said it would change everything. They were all right. Soon others followed in his footsteps and built new airships. And a new age of commerce and conflict began. Humanity once again has the chance to flourish or to plunge once more into the greed and violence that already brought it to the edge of extinction. All right, so they say, welcome to Guns of Icarus Online, the first cooperative airship combat game mixing together first-person shooter action with team-based strategy. Up to four people will crew a ship, taking on one control, captain, gunner, or engineer, and battling it out against other ships above the post-apocalyptic waste. In Guns of Icarus Online, it will take teamwork and tactics to dominate the skies. That actually sounds kind of hot.
My sound's going for my gum. You can't hear me, yes? Yes? Can you hear me, teacher?
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah, I can still hear you. All right, so those of you who are waiting for Conflict of Heroes, Awakening the Bear, it's been announced.
Oh, yeah? What did they announce?
Well, they're thrilled to announce the official computer release of the multiple award-winning tactical World War II game Conflict of Heroes, Awakening the Bear. This exciting new release is a faithful adaptation of the renowned Conflict of Heroes board game that won the Origins Historical Game of the Year, Charles Roberts War Game of the Year, and the James F. Dunnigan Design Award, as well as the others. Designed and developed in cooperation with Yui Eckhart, the original designer of Conflict of Heroes, no effort has been spared to bring the outstanding Conflict of Heroes gameplay to the computer, or to the PC. Why do they keep saying computer? Conflict of Heroes Awakening the Bear includes an AI opponent, as well as a full multiplayer support with an integrated forum and game lobby. To remain true to the core gameplay of the board of the game, the PC version is designed to be fun, fast, and easy to play, though hard to master. The game design is also historically accurate and teaches and rewards platoon and company level combat arms tactics without overwhelming the player with rules.
Boo for rules!
Also included are all 10 original Awakening the Bear scenarios, as well as 11 new Frontier scenarios, 5 new Commanding Heights scenarios, and a very flexible Partisan Road point by scenario. For those with a creative urge, Conflict of Heroes also comes with a scenario editor, which allows and complete scenarios using the Awakening the Bear units. Conflict of Heroes Awakening the Bear will be released in late March and will be available for $39.99 download and $49.99 physical through the Matrix Games and Slytherin online stores. Yay. If you want to go over and check it out, it is matrixgames.com. And I believe that's going to do it for us.
Yes, yes it will.
It's time to go.
We are out of here for a couple of hours and then we'll be back.
We'll see you guys later on tonight. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central CS. Well, I said Central, but I'll say it again. Central, again, CS time, CST time, and bring your mudslinging things.
Yes.
I don't know why you're bringing them. Maybe you feel like slinging some mud. Ginger feels like slinging mud, don't you?
I feel like slinging Jell-O.
Okay, we'll bring you Jell-O flingers. All right, here we go. Speaking of GTA 4, I thought I'd give him a little bit of this. Julie, listen to GTA 4.
Nice. Not later, boys and girls. Mwah!